Westmont Board of Education meeting, July 31st, 2012. Opening statement pursuant to New Jersey Administrative Code, Title 10, Chapter 4, Subchapter 10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Co-Star and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Mrs. Hahn.
Mrs. Barnes.
Here.
Mr. Bauer.
Here.
Mr. Campbell.
Here.
Mrs. Dagan Spang.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fury.
Here.
Mrs. LaSalle.
Here.
Mr. Shelton.
Here.
Mrs. Verdi.
Here.
Mrs. Walsh.
Here.
Mr. Wintersstone.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Mission statement, Manasquan School District's mission statement is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned to the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within a community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, potential, integrity, and mutual respect. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it is presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting, and in rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Prior to our start tonight, I have a statement that I would like to read to the public. I met earlier today with Principal Graziano and Mrs. Margin, and Mrs. Graziano has reviewed the following statement for accuracy on the parts that pertain to her. I've been approached and contacted by many residents inquiring about information appearing in recent media articles. I had hoped that the board member highlighted in the articles, Mrs. Muley, would responsibly and publicly address these inquiries at the board table. Last week, upon my asking her to do so, she instead tendered her resignation. A longtime district employee, Principal Colin Graziano, was named in a police report filed on June 12th of 2012 by Mrs. Muley. That report contained a statement that, in part, read that Mrs. Muley, quote, spoke to Manasquan Elementary School Principal Colin Graziano regarding several children who had been vandalizing property. The victim, which according to the police report is Mrs. Muley, states that she had photographed the children involved and asked Graziano to identify them, end quote. This police report was subsequently obtained by the local media the same day it was reported. Immediately following the publication in June of this information, Mrs. Graziano contacted me requesting a meeting to clarify the facts as she recalled them. I was more than happy to accommodate her request. We arranged a meeting, which was also attended by Superintendent Margin and Board Member Linda DePalma. Principal Graziano was upset with what was being reported and asked that she set the record straight. She wanted the board to know that the incident Mrs. Muley referred to happened several years ago. Mrs. Graziano recalled Mrs. Muley's coming into the school with a photograph that Mrs. Muley took of children in a park across the street from the Muley's house. Mrs. Muley told Mrs. Graziano that in the past, there had been children seen in the area that appeared to be partying. According to Mrs. Graziano, no mention of vandalism was made, as was stated by Mrs. Muley in the police report. Mrs. Graziano stated that she was very clear that she did not identify any children in the photograph. In fact, Mrs. Graziano advised me that she clearly spoke against Mrs. Muley's actions and encouraged Mrs. Muley to call the police and not seek out the families or students herself. Mrs. Graziano was concerned that the board may be under the impression that she was somehow involved in the local media reporting on this matter. She made it clear that she had no part in providing information to the local media. She stated that she would never do anything to cause harm or negative publicity to the school board or district. I assured Principal Graziano that I would make certain that the board heard this information and that we all knew that she did not do anything wrong or improper. To reiterate, neither Mrs. Graziano nor any current member of this board sought media attention for this incident. Individual board members volunteer their time. The public sees us sitting up here for several hours at two public meetings each month. What you do not see is the numerous hours we spend in committee meetings, doing research in the comfort of our homes, taking time away from our families, attending school events and training sessions offered to us as board members. Our sending district representatives do double duty, as they also serve on their own school boards as well. due to work and/or family commitments. I know there are many people who rely on the local newspaper as their only source for school board information. My fear is that people in town who have never attended a Board of Education meeting are led to believe that we are not running efficient and productive meetings because of the way we are portrayed in the local paper. The independent actions of any present or former board member do not define what takes place here. In fact, I would encourage members of the public who cannot attend our meetings to go to the school website and listen to our audios. You'll be able to hear for yourself how our meetings are run and how decisions are made. If you rely solely on what you read in the paper, you will probably be quite surprised to learn that we actually do and have been conducting business. It's time that we put the past behind us once and for all and begin a new chapter. And as the president of this board, I intend to do that just now. Now on to the business of the night. Acceptance of the minutes. May I have a motion for 073101?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Only for the 26th. I wasn't here.
Oh.
Just the 19th.
So you're abstaining on the 19th. Okay. Mrs. Dagnitz-Fang?
Yes, the 19th, but abstaining the 26th.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalla?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Abstain 19th, yes, 26th.
Mrs. Verdi?
No to the 19th, yes to the 26th. There was a little discrepancy when I went to the audio to hear the minutes. I believe that somebody had asked about the appraisal, and there was a little bit of discrepancies, we'll say, with the time. Can you hear me? Sorry. So no to the 19th and the 26th, yes.
Okay. Mrs. Walsh?
Abstain for the 19th and yes for the 26th.
Mr. Winnestel?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried.
Okay, and I don't believe we have presentations and reports. Is that accurate, Mrs. March?
I was informed by Jesse Place, our Director of Technology, that PARC has released their version 1.0 of the technology guidelines for testing. In May of this year, a required readiness survey by the New Jersey Department of Ed, Office of Educational Technology, was submitted that assessed districts on their computing capacity and bandwidth requirements. As of the date of this survey, Manasquan reported that had the following numbers of devices for potential student testing. At the high school, 138 desktops and 12 laptops, 84 netbooks and 20 thin clients for a total of 254 devices. The elementary school has 92 desktops, 26 laptops, 24 netbooks for a total of 142 devices. I'm happy to say that the current district desktop, laptop, thin client, and netbook computers meet or exceed the hardware requirements set forth by PARC guidelines. Additionally, our current Apple iPad tablets meet the requirements but may require the purchase of additional external keyboards or styluses if we are to use them for testing. The security considerations require administrative tools and capabilities to lock down the device or temporarily disable features, functionalities, and applications that could prevent a security risk during test administration. While it is unclear how such restrictions will work with the actual testing software, as more details become available, we can investigate how to accomplish this. The version 1.0 document does not specify bandwidth recommendations, testing platform software, and input devices. It indicates that these will be articulated in the future guideline documents. And as you know, it's about 18 months till the first initial testing. The state has indicated that there will be future surveys to complete as the PARC testing approaches to monitor districts' progress toward this capacity. The second thing is that I'd like to report, it was a part of the goal report, so you all received this as a written document, but we received from SportsSafe that the random positive rate for 2011-12 was 7.9%. This number is derived by taking the total number of positive/refusals, because we count refusals as positives, and dividing them by the total number of tests attempted. Last year's rate was 10.1%, so we had a reduction, even though we doubled the number of tests administered this year. I think this is due large in part to the board's recommendations of reporting on a monthly basis the results of the random student drug testing. The high school posted on their website, and it's also reported in the high school newspaper each month. So that, I think, really has had an impact on making everyone more aware. Also, our follow-up positive rate last year was 16.4%, and this year it was reduced to 12.9%. This means that more of the students who came up positive initially are at least responding to the intervention and getting back on track. So those are some positive things and results from our testing. At this time, I would like the board to review the enrollment figures as per document A. The enrollment as of June 18th is 685 students in Manasquan High School, or I'm sorry, Manasquan Elementary School, and 953 full-time students and 45 shared time students for a total of 998 in the high school. This brings the district enrollment to a total of 1,683. The average daily attendance for June was 92.56% in the high school and 95.77% at the elementary school. I would like the board to refer to the suspension report and fire and bus emergency evacuation drill reports for the high school and elementary school, which the district is required by law to report at an open meeting as specified in document B. There were no HIV cases reported in June. The ones that were filed were reported at our last meeting. So that's the end of my report, and if we could have a motion to approve that. Yes, I'm sorry, John.
Oh, okay, just a question. You say that we have adequate computer. Does that mean by number or by capability?
By capacity, by what type of computer they are and the memory that they handle.
Would we have enough of them under the...
They haven't come out with that yet. I think that they're gonna, it depends how they administer the test, how many grade levels at any one time would have to take it. And that's why I think they're gonna take a series of surveys to know how many districts within the state, because that might modify how they administer the test.
Jared,
excuse me.
Question, what is the percentage of the drug tests that are refusals?
Good question. I don't think I have that with me, so I'll get that for the board next time. I know there were a few this year, but I want to get the percent.
Thank you.
Jerry, could you just provide me some background on what PARC is?
PARC is the Partnership for Assessment. Right off the top of my head, I can't think of the other words, but there's two major testing consortiums within the country. And we have aligned ourselves with PARC. New Jersey was in both, but they become a major participant in PARC, and I believe there's over 24 states that are involved. And they're developing a whole new assessment system that will do away with New Jersey ASK. We're going towards a national test, basically.
Thank you.
Any other questions? May I have a motion to approve the superintendent's report 073102?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Wintersella. Thank you for the second. Mr. Campbell. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. Dignitz-Fang?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalla?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winterstone?
Yes.
Okay. Public comment on the agenda. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual, not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included on this agenda only. If you'd like to make a comment on the agenda, please come to the podium and give us your name and address. Dewey, could you tap that just to see if it's on? We'll get you set up.
While that is happening, Pat, I can give you PARC. is the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers.
Yes.
It's actually two Cs.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer.
KARCC. I was curious myself.
Yes.
Name and address?
I did remember.
I had forgotten.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
Ken Clayton, Main Street, Manasquan.
I was just, had a question I asked last week regarding the $20,000 for the legal fee. I wasn't sure I got a clear answer on that. You referred to the hockey venue as part of that. But is that what it's for, or?
I apologize if I was obtuse last time, but I'll try to do a better job this time.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah. Being obtuse is part of the job description. It certainly does involve litigating with that, you know, in that particular case that you just mentioned. There are a variety of other potential legal challenges out there that I think there's some anticipation that the money will be spent, but there's no guarantee the money will be spent. We'll certainly try to make sure the money isn't spent, but the only one I can comment on publicly at this time is the one that's already been filed in the Superior Court of New Jersey in Freehold because it's a public filing.
Well, I saw on the website that there was a special meeting that was held to discuss the performance of the superintendent. Does that have anything to do with that?
Okay, I'm not going to get into telling you all I'm telling you is, you know, this is firmly within the attorney-client privilege. The board has decided to budget a certain amount of money for potential litigation and other legal issues. You know, there's also negotiations of a variety of other things that the board is looking at, and this is just precautionary. But the only thing I can talk about that's active, and the only thing I would instruct the board to talk about is, or recommend that the board talk about.
How do you come up with that number? I mean, I just out of curiosity, then. How do you come up with that?
Well, are you asking me how I came up with the number?
It was my recommendation, yeah. Mr. Clayton.
I think the board took a best guess.
I sent in an Oprah request. I sent in an Oprah request for any Rice notices that were sent out within the last 60 days, and I didn't get a response. You know, yes, no, maybe you filled it out wrong, whatever.
I didn't receive it. Was it on that?
I sent you an email.
Did you send it from on the website?
No, I sent it to you. To you, your email address.
Yeah, and I don't, honestly, unless it's on the website as an Oprah, I wouldn't have even noticed it because I don't take them in my email. The Oprah has an oversight and Oprah request site so that we time them and we answer them.
Did you get it or you didn't get it?
No, not that, but I get hundreds of emails. So I will look.
Oh, okay. Well, can I ask, were there any Rice notices sent out within the last 60 days?
The answer to the question is, first of all, whether or not the board, I'm certainly not going to get into who the board sent the Rice notice out to.
No, I didn't ask that.
Whether there were Rice notices sent out in the past 60 days, I believe the answer is yes. Beyond that, I'm not comfortable, and I don't think the board should be commenting on who it sent Rice notices to. And quite frankly, when you get that Oprah request, I'd like to review it.
Please. Okay.
Thank you.
My secretary's going to go up to it, and she didn't notice it either.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
And again, I don't mean to be what I'm trying to be, or maybe I do, but understand.
No, I do understand.
Okay.
I was just confused based on the response that I got last week.
Is it any better now?
Yes. Good. It's a little bit lawyerese, but I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Clayton.
It may have gone to my spam, too, so I will check.
I have it. I can send it to you again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the floor on items pertaining to this agenda? Okay, seeing no one. As we agreed last week, we're going to group items 03103 through items 073113. Is that 13 or further?
Yep.
May I have a motion from the floor, please?
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Winterstella. Roll call.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Ms. DePalma?
Yes.
Ms. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes, with the exception of 73103, on which I will abstain.
Mr. Winterstein?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, on the Manasquan Sending District, items 073114 through 073117, may I have a motion from the floor?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh, may I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi, roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes, but I'm abstaining from item 73118.
We skipped, Julie, we singled it out.
You're already, oh, because it's not on here.
This is just for the first one.
Okay, and no to 73127.
We're not there yet.
We just went up to 17.
We just, yeah.
Oh, just to say, okay, then that's fine, all right.
Okay, so that's a yes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. Dignan-Spang?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes, abstained from 73114.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalla?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes. Did you, I'm sorry, did we say that we were singling out?
3118.
18, 3118, yeah.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes, but I'm abstaining from 73114.
Mr. Winterstein?
Yes.
Carried.
Okay.
Just with respect to 18, I, last time I anticipated having a clear directive from the Atlantic Club as to whether or not they agreed with my very minor, one minor, but minor in size, but a significant issue that I had a problem with in the contract. They still, we did speak again today, I spoke to the comptroller, who, I guess they don't use lawyers over there, they're going to speak directly to the owner, but I feel reasonably assured that they will ultimately agree to eliminate some of the offending language. So all I can suggest, I, you know, I understand that this has been a matter of some controversy for reasons unrelated to the contract. I'm comfortable that if the board wants to approve it, just make it subject to attorney review, and I will ensure the contract protects the board and doesn't in any way waive any important rights the board may have, and I think it'll be, again, as long as the changes are made, it'll be a fine contract. But I know there are some other issues that the board may want to discuss, and so now may be a time for that, Madam President.
I just needed some clarity, Mrs. Marching, because I know we went around a couple ways with this. Are we still of the opinion or belief that our trainers are going to handle out there, or is the decision if we go with this, that the Atlantic Club trainers are going to take care of our students? What was the final resolution to that?
I'm going to take Mr. Cornegay's recommendation that said that he felt that the people out at the Atlantic Club were qualified to be the support out there.
And my second question, Mr. McCumber, legally, are we open up to liability if we don't have our own people taking care of our students, or?
Well, you know, I think it was, as it was said last time, you know, I don't know, we're not even legally, I think, obligated to have a trainer, so, you know, and there are some school districts that don't, not that I would recommend that. There's always an issue of liability in any situation, but.
That this wouldn't be any greater exposure, I guess, is my question.
It's so hard to answer that question. I can't answer that question clearly. Obviously, you have a trainer who's going to be a little bit more, have to travel a little bit further than he ordinarily would have to. Would that make a difference in a litigated case? I can't say that it wouldn't for sure, but again, the kinds of things that I'm worried about are, you know, from a litigation standpoint, are hopefully things, you know, that staff at Atlantic Club could, you know, life-threatening injuries, you know, CPR, resuscitation, things like that. I'm hopeful that, and from what we understand, I think the Atlantic Club has that type of thing. That's what I'm primarily worried about. The trainers, and I have three ruptured Achilles tendons, so I, you know, I know the value of a good trainer. You know, they're certainly very, very important, but from a litigation standpoint, I'm more worried about, you know, clear negligence, and if the Atlantic Club is saying, look, we have everyone CPR trained, everyone, we have EMTs, we have this, we have whatever, I'm not as, I'm less worried about litigation. Now, students, parents, I mean, that's not for me to answer.
Do we also, I guess I also have to take the pulse of the board here, are we comfortable voting on this with a conditional
giving, giving, you're giving me supreme power. No, it's a subject, look, it's just subject to my review, just to make sure that there's one paragraph in the contract which I was uncomfortable with from the board's perspective. I asked that the paragraph be eliminated.
Can you tell us what that paragraph
sure.
was?
Sure. It was a paragraph that, in essence, would require the board to waive any claim or cause of action premised on simple negligence of the Atlantic Club or its staff.
Mr. Winterstella?
Yeah, I just, you know, I have no problem voting pending the attorney's approval. I'd also, you know, I think we can go too far on this. I understand we have gymnastics off campus practices and games. I understand we have track off campus for many times. I think we're very fortunate. We have a great athletic trainer. I think he's, you know, an absolute great value. But I also, having played sports, injuries are going to happen. Hopefully you've got good conditioning and everything else, but there's no way you're going to stop injuries by having an athletic trainer on the sideline. So the important thing, in my opinion, is to contradict those injuries and have the right services available to take care of. I think that's what the Atlantic Club is saying they have. I don't know what these other facilities are where we train gymnastics and so forth. I mean, gymnastics can be a very dangerous sport if you're not well prepared. And I think we have a professional here that understands this, but I've read the regulations. If you look at the regulations, it's recommended we have a doctor at every athletic event. NJAIAA, you can't do that. And they go on to say, if you don't have that, then it's recommended you have an athletic trainer. If you can't do that, it's recommended you have availability of first aid services. It's all permissive, and I just don't know where we're going with this idea of having athletic trainers at practices and games. It would be great if we did, but I think if you look at what we're in this resolutions tonight, there's an appropriation of $70 an hour, I believe, for trainers, for Newton, another trainer. And I don't know if we have all that kind of money in the budget to have all these events with athletic trainers. So I am comfortable voting on the resolution pursuant to the attorney approving the conditions.
Mrs. DePalma?
Okay. I would love to vote yes to this because I think it's a better field, a better facility. And I would hope that they have everything there. I mean, they are a sports complex, so you would think that if anything, they would have more injuries there than we would, and they'd be ready for it. But after speaking with Julia, I have concerns about it now because there were a lot of things that she made me aware of. But the other question I had was, someone said that there's not always an athletic trainer at hockey games. Is that right, or is there always an athletic trainer? Because that's an extremely, high impact sport.
The school that is. It's their home event, okay. Provides the athletic trainer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we play at the same site, but it might not be our home game.
Oh, okay. But with our home games, we always have an athletic trainer there?
Yes.
For hockey games. Okay.
What about practices, though? Is there an athletic trainer at every practice?
No, not at practices.
I would think not.
There are
so
not.
You
okay.
could be as
Which
injured
is,
in,
yeah,
a, in a practice just
well,
as
there
easily
is,
as
a
game.
Wait a minute, though. I thought at our practices, Mr. I know football, Mr. Highland is there. And he floats back and
but
forth
not
between.
At hockey. Not
oh,
at hockey.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, not at hockey because
okay.
it's basketball.
I had one other question. Who's left at the if soccer moves over to the Atlanta Club? What other sports are playing still at the Army Camp?
Soccer is the only one for fall.
Right.
But the JV.
But even all year, who else plays at the Army Camp?
Lacrosse plays there, and track also runs. Cross country will run over there.
And the
track
freshman sport. So freshman field hockey is at Seagirt. And then you play opposite. So if the girls were playing one event, you may have freshman boys still at Seagirt. You'll have them opposite. So that's not totally true. You do still have people at Seagirt if you have three levels, because all three levels, there's only two fields. Yeah, but the freshmen would still be. You could have three different campuses with athletes on every campus at once.
One of the things that concerns me, and I'm speaking not as the board president, but just as an individual board member, is that if everybody starts to, we all know what the Secret Army camp provides, and it's not the ideal condition. So if everybody starts to do an exodus from there and goes to all other sites, I think if we may be setting a slippery slope by approving this one. That's just my opinion. I'm not asking anybody to be swayed. I just wanted to put it out there. So if we're comfortable with the vote, how do I word this to get a motion to? Does anybody else have any other questions? I'm sorry. Mr. Shelton.
And John, point me to it. If not, did you just mention there is a trainer on here at $70 an hour tonight?
I thought there was.
Are we approving an additional trainer anywhere tonight?
Not full membership.
I see physical therapist.
I think it was physical therapist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I read it on my
No, I'm just asking because last week I think Ron said, 20 games, $70 a game.
There's not a trainer on this agenda.
Right. But we could spend $1,500 and approve a trainer to go along with this if we wanted to, right?
Well, we do have substitute trainers.
Okay.
And that is an option. If you were to say, we only want games if you can get a substitute trainer,
right.
And I'm sure Mrs. Barnes would agree with me, sometimes it's very hard to find a substitute certified athletic trainer.
Especially for only $70.
But Ron,
what's
Ron
the real
has
cost?
Three.
Remember, you're not talking about a substitute teacher who has 60 credits. You're talking about an allied health professional. So you're depending on the length of the event. Like field hockey, they're back-to-back. So it's a longer day than it would be for soccer that's side-by-side. So depending on what somebody's hourly rate would be. It can be 70, it could be 150.
So if we were to modify this motion to include a trainer, it could be anywhere from $1,500 to $3,500.
But remember,
to cover
right,
just those games.
But right now, there's no cost to the school with this, right. As it sits on the table, because it would be picked up by the
and
parent club.
Could we ask the parents? Could we ask the parents if they would pay for a trainer?
I guess
and
we could ask.
You know
anything,
what we didn't mention?
I guess
Mrs. DePalma and I were talking today. You know, if you go to Siegert, is it my understanding the athletes walk there?
Yes.
Okay. But that we don't have any transportation for them to go to Atlanta Club, and they would not be able to walk there. We'd be.
And that's why I believe they said varsity is the only thing, because those kids can transport.
See, and that wasn't what was the understanding when we spoke to the person. It's only varsity.
It's only varsity. Yeah, I heard that all three.
Okay.
Mr.
I heard all three levels. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I want to go back to kind of resonate with what John was saying a little earlier. I think we're having two parallel conversations here. Mm-hmm. Both of them are a lot of value. One is the Atlantic Club contract, and there's a much wider conversation going on now about trainer on the field. I think we need to separate those.
Okay.
Okay, I think we need to come back to what's in front of us today,
mm-hmm.
and then what we want to talk about how to best way to support the kids in an athletic sense. I think we're kind of crossing.
I agree with
kind of what I think.
Could I just ask another question? What is the difference between a trainer and a physical therapist? I mean, I think what part of the trainer was preparing students and preparing athletes. And,
yes, part of them would be to they address children, students, athletes with injuries and prepare them if they're still going to practice or do that. Julie, I'm not going to dare say anything because.
It's a different license. Mm-hmm. It's a different college degree. It's a different training. They do have some crossover when they're doing rehabilitation, but physical therapists do not address the actual on-site injury, and they don't deal in the prevention. They're the rehabilitation of injuries.
I also think the physical therapist, for the purposes of our agenda, Mrs. Morgan, is for capacity,
is
absolutely not related
different.
To sports.
That's yes.
So that's
different,
I think that's
and
where
different
the confusion
licensure from the state of New Jersey. They're medical licensed professionals that just deal with that. A trainer has what is called a nurse has it in your school district, and it's called standing orders. And your standing orders are directly with a physician. So an athletic trainer directly deals with the school physician at all times, has a very close relationship with them and dealing with the issues at hand. There may be diabetics, there may be severe asthmatics, there may be some special needs that they're dealing with, and they have that relationship with the physicians to make sure that any athlete has special needs. You know, that's the person, the coach is coaching, the athletic trainer is watching out for the well-being of the children.
Okay, so hopefully the coaches as well.
Mrs. DePalma.
I just have one.
You haven't done that.
Does the Atlanta Club have a defibrillator?
Yes, because they said they were trained in AED.
So the matter before us is to put a motion on the floor for 073118 pending or conditional.
Upon attorney review of the contract.
Upon attorney review of the contract. May I have a motion from the floor, please?
So be.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. May I have a second? Thank you, Mr. Winterstella. Roll call.
If there's any further discussion.
Mrs. Barnes.
Oh, any further discussion?
This is the revised one where you took that last argument out, you took the last paragraph out that you said was questionable.
Yeah, it's premised on the fact that they agree to my demands.
Okay. Mrs. DePalma.
So if I vote yes, that means yes, we're going with the Atlanta Club? Is that what
you're saying? Vote yes, it means you are going with the Atlanta Club.
Okay. I would say yes if I know there's going to be a trainer there.
Well, then.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. But I'm not, should I abstain then?
That's not part of the motion.
Then how do I do that? I can't. Unless I know that we could.
Well, on this motion, I would vote no unless there's, you know, another motion to amend the motion.
So we're definitely not even going to consider to have a trainer there.
And not in this motion. And the way this motion is, it's not in this motion. Am I correct, Mr. Winterstella?
That's correct. And I think if this board feels that there should be trained at all events or at all games and not practices or all games and practices, I think that should be a separate motion.
Definitely.
Because understood. I think that's a major spending issue and
understood.
I don't think it has anything to do with this.
Again, one
make
question.
These good.
If I may, question.
Sure.
The policy of the board right now is that there is a trainer at every varsity game, is that correct? But not at practices?
At home.
I'm hearing
games,
different things.
And not necessarily at it, because there could be a soccer game, a boys soccer game, a girls soccer game. Usually they're in the same location if mm-hmm. they're both home. But there have been freshman scrimmages for football on a Monday afternoon.
Without a
and
trainer.
And there's a soccer game at Siegert, and there's one trainer.
But Mrs. Morgan,
okay. So there is precedent for games taking place at the school without the presence of an athletic trainer.
Without an athletic trainer necessarily on that particular field 100% of the
time.
And
there is no policy that says we have to, correct?
Right,
correct.
There's no policy that requires.
There is no policy.
Julia sparked something in me. As she said, our trainer knows our athletes. If it's a diabetic, an epileptic, who is going to have those records, if anyone, at the Atlanta Club for those children that may or may not have?
Every coach has to carry them because, of course, when they're at away games, that the coach is the only one there prepared to say, I know the students on my team, and here's their medical information.
So that would be at a game at the Atlanta Club?
Absolutely. At any game, any away game, mm-hmm. any game, the coach has that information.
And that coach would give that to someone at the Atlanta Club?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else? May I have a roll call?
Question.
Mrs. Barnes.
Abstain.
Mr. Bauer.
Yes.
Mr. Campbell.
Yes.
Mrs. Degnan-Spang.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
I would abstain.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalle.
No.
Mr. Shelton.
No.
Mrs. Verdi.
Nope.
Mrs. Walsh.
Abstain.
Mr. Winterstein.
Yes. Armin, I believe these abstentions fall with the majority, don't they?
Well, I think
we have five yes.
I think we still need a majority of not the affirmative of the quorum. We have how many members here?
11.
And you only have
five yes.
Five yes, and there is also a certain question, which you know we're going to have to talk a little bit more about whether. Quite frankly, sending representatives are even entitled to vote on this, which is something I was keeping an eye on. So really, you only have three affirmative Manasquan votes. I don't think that would pass, Peg. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I agree.
Okay.
So I'll send a letter.
I think the abstentions, they do count toward the quorum, but I don't think, I don't think they count.
Well, I'll send
question.
A letter to the parents saying that it was not approved.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's
the only,
scheduled to start in August.
You know, we have a lot of abstentions. I guess the only question is, you know, the abstaining was based on, you know, again, a lack of information or something else you'd like to see. But again, we only have 3 Manasquan votes and only a total of 5 votes, so I don't believe that would pass.
So if I understand this correctly, if I may.
Mr. Bauer.
As a result of this, that means that we can have soccer games at the Army camp where there may not necessarily be an athletic trainer on site. Okay, so to me, that makes no sense.
Oh, that's your title to your vote, Tom?
All right, I'm just, yeah.
I understand.
I just want to clarify, yeah.
I understand.
Okay.
Anybody down there have anything they want to contribute? No, we're good? Okay.
I have a question. So all the soccer practices are at the Army camp anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to affect practices right now in the beginning until we work it out, if we decide to go ahead.
Well, we would have to let the
I think we need to.
No.
Yeah,
I think the motion is everything has been spoken for. I think we need to move on from that matter, and we can come back to revisit it. I think
if we're going to talk about trainers, we're done. Like if you're saying, forget it, we're
but
never
the vote,
bringing it back.
The vote already passed, or did not pass. Rather, the vote already happened.
Right, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is are we going to revisit this with the trainer and what's going to happen, or no? We decided no.
Well, I have to let the parents know because. It was due to start August 27th.
Are you speaking in general
right,
about
yes.
the...
Right, that's what was going to be
okay.
my question.
You're not speaking about this motion.
Right, no, I'm speaking in general. Like, are we... Will it be, like I asked Mrs. Margin.
It would have to be put on the agenda.
Right, what if we can bring it...
What if the parents decided to say, well, we'll pay for the trainer to be there. If that, we want to be at the Atlanta Club, and we will pay also for the trainer. They're paying for the field service.
If I'm hearing you correctly...
If you want to direct Peg to write the letter in such a way that the board would reconsider this if the parents would pay for...
Well, if the board's not going to pay for it, we have, in order to get a trainer there, we'd have to have parents pay for it. I guess that would be the only way.
But
we're paying for the field use, why wouldn't we...
Well, again, I'd have to refer to Mr. Cornegay to see if those 20 games he could line up a substitute athletic trainer. He can't guarantee that necessarily. Right now, he'd have to go out.
And Linda, every time we've started, just so you know, every time we've ever started with a contract where parents pay,
right?
In the end, within 2 years, 2 to 3 years tops, we almost always wind up taking it over and paying for it. So just know that will probably be an expense that will come
in
the board's direction in 2 or 3 years.
So if we start with this, this may be something that becomes our financial responsibility down the pike anyway.
In all likelihood.
Boy, it's even another reason for no. For me, anyway. Okay. May I have a motion for 073119 through 073135?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes. Oh, sorry.
Question on 73132. I guess not being here last week, where did the amount 20,000 come up from?
Jack, I'd be glad to talk to you after the meeting, but it was a request that I had made. Again, I think we've spoken about this at length last week and somewhat tonight. It may not be an amount that we use. It's an amount that would be available to us should we need it with some matters that are before the board.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose, since you were not part of the conversation last week, you can pull that out for yourself if you choose to do so.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Michelle, I have a question on 73127.
Mm-hmm.
Is the date July 17th, 2012 accurate?
Yes.
So that has already happened?
The one, yes, half of it's happened.
We've addressed that before, Mrs. Walsh, about asking that items not be placed on the agenda that have past dates. I think we've been pretty good. But apparently not tonight. But.
Well, the reason for this was we had a commitment to eye observation. We purchased the software in June. We were trying to book a date early in July. I was back and forth with them because they're presenting all over the state. And to coordinate with all of the superintendents and their vacations and my administration and their vacations, this was the date we could get. And we did not have this date or contract prior to the last meeting in June. So we had to go with it, otherwise we would have not gotten it in, and we have to start at the beginning of September. So
thank
I
you.
Apologize.
Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes to everything except for item 73127.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes, except for 73132. I abstain.
Mrs. Degnan-Spang?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes, and abstaining on 7/31/27.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winnestone?
Yes.
Carrie?
Okay, anybody, I have several items for old new business, but I'll let you all go first if anybody has anything. Anybody for old new business? Okay, a couple of items. The board will begin accepting letters of intent for the vacant board seat on August 21st through August 28th. We'll interview prospective candidates if necessary, and by if necessary, I mean if we get more than one. We'll interview and vote or take action at our September 18th meeting. Okay? Linda DePalma has graciously accepted to fill the position of chairperson of the policy committee. I'd like to thank Linda for stepping up. I've asked Catherine Verdi to serve on the district evaluation advisory committee, left vacant with Mrs. Muley's resignation. I spoke with Mrs. Margin and asked for her input. It has to be a Manasquan board member, and Mrs. Margin had suggested Mrs. Verdi, and Mrs. Verdi has also graciously accepted to fill that role. And I need to ask Mrs. Margin, does she have to be there tomorrow? You said there might be a meeting on the 1st.
Yes, there is a meeting tomorrow. I believe it's 8:30. I'll double check that. And if you can be there, it would be very helpful.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the board needs to assign a board member to our legislative, to be our legislative delegate to New Jersey School Boards Association. That requires two meetings per year, and I would like to assign Mr. Shelton if the board has any, if the board has doesn't have any objections to that. I think it's legalese, and I think you'd be well suited, Mr. Shelton.
I think that's perfect.
I do too. That answer's yes. He's graciously accepted.
Discussion?
Nope.
Discussion.
No, it's not really something you can do anything about. She can. She has.
It requires two per year, and power. I think you, really, Mike, honestly, I think you'd be great for it. So, and it'd be a help to the board. We've been asked by the Manasquan Tourism Commission to consider changing our August 21st meeting as it conflicts with the boat parade in Manasquan. Their thinking is we all would be able to attend then. So I'd like to know how the board, I told them that I would read this and how the board feels about it. Dear Michelle, as you may know, the borough of Manasquan is celebrating its 125th anniversary this year. One of the initial activities planned for the borough's celebration is a decorated lighted boat parade sponsored by the Manasquan Tourism Commission. The boat parade is scheduled for Tuesday, August 21st, rain date August 22nd at the Manasquan Inlet. It's come to the Tourism Commission's attention that this date conflicts with an already scheduled Board of Education meeting on August 21st. Therefore, the Tourism Commission would greatly appreciate it if you would consider changing the date of your meeting so that the Board of Education members, faculty members, and other attendees could be available to attend the boat parade. Thank you for your time and consideration in this matter. Again, speaking for me and no other board member, I'm not inclined to change our meeting date that's already scheduled. If anybody would like further discussion, or if the majority of the board feels differently, give a holler. Okay, all good?
When would you change it to?
Let's not go there. We don't need
okay,
to.
Okay, so.
I don't know, Mike, I don't think we should change it. And lastly, with regards to our goal writing assignment, Mrs. Walsh had given me a few suggestions, and I'd like to pass this on to the group. I think it's a great idea. Last week, we had discussed the four areas that we're looking to set goals in, our district goals, and they were student achievement, faculty, facilities, rather, technology, and community. I'd like to assign pairs and groups, which would involve every board member, to take on one goal, and you would have between now and the 21st to work with the people that you're paired with to formulate that goal. We can come back on the 21st, combine them all together, and each week we need to make and hopefully be able to adopt something on the 28th. If the board is agreeable to that, here is my suggestions. I would like to see if we could, under student achievement, Julia Barnes, Pat Walsh, and Catherine Verdi to work together in that area. On community, myself and Linda DePalma. Facilities, Mr. Bauer, Mr. Campbell, and Winter Stella. And technology, Mr. Fury and Mr. Shelton. I picked these based on knowing most of you and where I feel your strengths are. One of the things that Mrs. Walsh had brought up, and I think it's a good one, is to make sure that we all are working, you know, with Mrs. Margin and the administration as we need to formulate these goals. We did have some jumping off points. My suggestion would be for some of you that were not here last week, and for some of you that need to redigest, if you go to this district website and you click on the audio, you'll be able to hear the conversation again and where we left things and where we were starting to progress. Does anybody have any objections to this idea, or does anybody have a better idea, or does anybody want to? Mrs. Verdi?
I had requested something from for last week, and being that now I'm on this committee for the goals, Mrs. Margin, you had said that the whole co-teaching thing was going to be one of our goals. And I think there was a little bit of confusion on what I was asking. So I want to thank you, first of all. I think you guys all have the list. And what I was asking is if you can, the list I was looking for are the co-educators that we're going to have in the classroom. I don't need names or anything. I just needed to know their credentials. But I've had a couple of parents ask me, well, wait a minute, what does co-teaching mean? I would like to ask you if you could walk us through it. There is, I know I spoke to you very briefly, the perception that our entire school is going to have two teachers, and clearly that's not the case. We're definitely not hiring anyone. Yes, we let go of paras. We kind of took care of that last week. But if you could, please walk us through the whole co-teaching. And I know that on this paper, you kind of tell us how many classes are going to have the teachers. Mm-hmm. So if you can just reiterate.
In each class, each grade level, there are classified students who require some assistance, and that varies depending on their learning disability and their IEP, which has been written. In the past, we have used paraprofessionals who do not necessarily even have a substitute certificate to assist students who need some extra support. A much better model, based on research, has been an inclusion class, which has one regular education teacher in the class and one special education teacher in the class. 2 years ago, we piloted this in a fourth grade class. One fourth grade class out of four classes in the fourth grade. It was very successful, and so when this class moved to the fifth grade, we followed it there. But in the fifth grade, all of our students change classes and have more than one teacher. So the special education teacher basically stayed with the class with the special education students and worked with the different teachers that provided language arts, math, social studies, and science. Currently, with our student population, we needed an inclusion class, one in first grade, one in third grade, one in fourth grade. So only one class out of the three or four classes in that grade level will be an inclusion class. In fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, we have one class where the special education students are a part of, and there will be a special education teacher following them through the day to assist them in each of their areas. Now, in that particular case, it may be more than one. They do switch depending on the special education teacher's schedule, how we could fit it in. So if you look at the sheet that was provided in your folders, for example, fifth grade, there are two special education teachers that will be working with that class, one covering math, the other one covering science and social studies. And miraculously, in that particular grade level, nobody has support in language arts. So there's no need to have support in language arts. If you look at sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, there are two special education teachers in sixth grade and two in seventh grade. Again, there is only one seventh grade class, one eighth grade class of students that have special needs that will require having a special education teacher with them. Does that better answer your question?
I think that that's going to be a little bit clearer to the parents that were questioning this.
Okay.
What about gym and specials? What happens there? Again, I would imagine we're going to look at the IEPs. And by the way, I don't know if you have that information. Do we have any students that have an IEP that require an additional person?
Yes, and in those cases, we do have paraprofessionals assisting there.
Okay. And they'll go to the specials, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Mrs. Walsh.
Mrs. Margin, there is nothing here for grade two, so there is no inclusion class in grade two?
No, there are no students that require in-class support in grade two. There are students that are required to have a pull-out and separate LLD class, and we have that provided for
so
them.
So this will change every year depending upon the student population?
That's correct.
Okay. In grade five, you have two teachers, one for math and one for science and social studies. But when you get up to seventh grade, you have one teacher handling math, science, and social studies. Can you explain the difference to me? Why you would need two teachers in the fifth grade and only one in six and seven to handle those three subjects?
Just the way the schedule works out. They have a full schedule we have block scheduling now at the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So math is a double period, and language arts is a double period. And then science and social studies are double periods, but only one of those subjects is taken in any semester. So the 7th, 6th grade will take science in the fall and social studies in the spring. So these teachers also have other assignments with other students and will be doing some pull-out LLD teaching also.
Thank you.
Any further questions or anything for old new business from the board? Okay, at this time I'd like to open up the floor to the final public forum. You may comment on anything on your mind. You sure can. I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. I'd actually like to ask Mr. Schelt a question. I know he has been very critical of the board in the past, and to some degree, very, very critical. Referring to 2 weeks ago, he had an article in the Co-Star regarding special privileges that the board has. And I was really, didn't go into detail, but now that you're a member of the board, what is your opinion on these special privileges, and if you could explain those?
I have no problem with the answering it, but I'd like to know.
You're under no obligation to answer questions.
Right, but I also would like to know what special privileges we get.
Well.
So I need to know that.
Yeah. Thanks, Stewie. Obviously, my special privilege is some legislative thing that they just told me about, but what you were referring to that was printed in the paper, I think said special privileges, district passes, things like that. Obviously, I just got here, but I'm under the belief that a board member shouldn't get a special pass to go to a football game or go to a basketball game or whatever it may be. I think we should pay our $5 if we want to go. Now, the board wants to disagree with me on that. You can. Frankly, it's $3, and I haven't even brought up the fact that we're the cheapest around, and I think we should raise the price to $5 because we keep saying we don't have any money. So that's an example. People who had children graduating this year that maybe couldn't take their entire family, but board members in the past have been able to score extra tickets. I don't think we're entitled to anything by being up here. We volunteered to do something. I mean, we all get $100,000 a year, and that's pretty nice. But no, this is a volunteer job, and that's my opinion. I haven't discussed it with anyone, but
clearly.
Well, you might want your free pass.
Well, I have to say I do agree with you with the graduation. The tickets are hard to come by, and I can't see taking my husband to watch me sit up there or sit in the chair. I think that's something that I enjoy sitting.
I've gone to ball games where there's board members and people standing in the end zone.
Well, it wasn't specific in the article, so I thought.
I'd like to be clear, though, Mr. Clayton. The only thing that the board is provided are the passes to the athletic events. So I think that's, I for one enjoy not having to stand in a line at an away game, but I always do donate to the high school anyway because it goes to our kitty.
It was said privileges, I didn't say what they're
right, well, I just want to be clear that there's not a multitude of privileges. That's the only one I know of.
I would like to say that I think you all do a great job, and it takes a lot of time, and you don't get paid. Some of us get paid, most of you don't. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stu.
Anybody else?
Me too.
See no one, I'll close the floor. Sunshine Law Resolution, the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6, allows for the exclusion of the public from that portion of a public meeting when certain matters which might endanger the public interest or risk the deprivation of individual rights are discussed. And the Board of Education wishes to discuss the following matters in a non-public closed meeting, with the resulting discussion being made public when a proper conclusion has been reached and there is no longer a need for confidentiality. Number 7, any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiations other than collective bargaining contract negotiations in which the Board of Education is or may become a party, or any matter falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his or her ethical duties as an attorney. Petition to the Commissioner of Education. Number 8, any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, and the conditions of employment, evaluation or disciplining of a specific employee unless the individual employee requests in writing that the matter be discussed at a public meeting, possible increment withholding certified staff member. Now therefore be resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education will hold a closed executive session immediately. It is anticipated that this closed session will not last longer than 60 minutes.
Action may be taken.
Action may be taken during the public portion of the meeting following the recess of the executive session. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So
to go into executive, to go into executive. I'll get this right one of these days. May I have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. Thank you for the second, Mr. Campbell. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mrs. Dignitz-Bang?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Schultz?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winterstone?
Yes.
Okay, we're also going to be staying in this room because apparently there's a ton of boxes and no room for us in the media room. So for members of the public, I would ask that you have any questions and quickly, if we can have the room, be great. Hey, Rich.